You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Are you just going to stand there eating that sushi all night? You haven't even looked at my photorealistic macaroni sculptures.
It's Who Arted with Creative Messiah, Amy Ralphini.
This is a lecture on how to make a happening. Don't
Tiger Beer and WWF presents Who Arted, a weekly guide through the world of art with Amy Ralphini.
Hi.
Had to play the right sting.
Hey, I'm loving it. That was like a live DJ medley mash of Amy stuff, Amy art stuff.
Mm.
So that's what I've got so far, those stings and the intro. That's exciting.
Sounds good. Hey, we are joined in studio with
painter Gavin Jones today, whose exhibition of paintings is opening tonight at Lot 23. Welcome, Gavin.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So the show, it's called, it doesn't really seem to have a name. Is it called Paintings, or did you just decide not to have a name?
It had another title prior to painting, but I thought it might have been a bit of a turn-off to people, so I called it Painting.
What was it?
Mainly because they're slightly dubious objects because they're largely print-based but made using paint.
That's really interesting. So, well, just quickly, what was the name of the show?
Disencumbered Throw. Which is the title of those two works sitting over there on the table.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay, so what kind of work can we expect to see in the show?
Small through to medium works. They're quite colourful, largely referencing painting as a process.
Yep.
So there's a lot of broad marks which I've taken from my palettes. Some of them are from surface blocks that I've made a couple of years ago that didn't work out. So some failures which I've used to incorporate into other works.
So when you say surface blocks, are you meaning blocks of just what do you mean?
So like a wood block or a liner cut.
Okay.
Something that has recessed areas, because a lot of the works are used, made referencing tupper cloth painting and how they transfer patterns.
Ah, yes.
Because I'm part Tongan.
I wondered that because I was reading about the process that you have.
Yeah.
I've got here, your process involved in making paintings is something that's central to your studio practice, and it requires a framework and a system in which you mediate and trigger a tangible experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So specifically rubbing and printing aspects of Natu. Is that right?
Yeah.
These rubbings act as a vehicle, subverting the uniqueness of painting as an object and undermining the repetitiveness often associated with printing and its copy. Under these conditions, painting begins to function as a unique multiple, which is interesting because there's definitely a repetitive kind of pattern in your work, which I see, you know, you layer the colour in repetitive patterning kind of ways that creates a movement to the eye, almost like an illusion or a visual illusion, which changes your perception of the surface and things. What drives this resolution in your work with regards to the actual colours as well? It's almost like iridescent fish surfacing.
Yeah, that does have that. What drives it?
Tell me about where you came from, if you find that one a bit.
Okay. Well, I mean, I grew up on the North Shore, which I mean,
whereabouts?
I grew up Castor Bay. So I mean, it's not really that exciting a place, really.
Castor Bay's pretty cool.
Yeah, it may have changed quite a bit since.
Where do you live now?
I live in Te Aroha.
That's nice.
Yeah, so quite a stark contrast.
I grew up in Murray's Bay.
Murray's Bay. Wow, there you go.
Where did you grow up?
I went to Murray's Bay Intermediate.
I grew up all over New Zealand, actually.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, a travelling man.
Mm.
My grandmother taught at Murray's Bay Intermediate. So,
yeah.
God, I'm an old Shaw family. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Histories.
Someone from the Shaw could be just so sophisticated and arty. Who would have thought? Yeah, sorry, let's get back to the process. So tell me about what brought you into, like, kind of working with the processes behind TAPA? You know, what have you been...
I kind of had a bit of a break after 2008. I had a show in 2007, and then I thought, at the time, I was going to do a career change. I was going to move to graphic design, so I studied for that, and I worked sort of part-time and freelance and did some pro bono stuff, but I kept coming back to painting. I mean, I sort of enjoyed some of the processes involved in graphic design, especially the more print-orientated, less digital, but you're still prepping it all in Photoshop and Illustrator and design. Yeah, so, I mean, that sort of comes into it, especially the fact that they're multiples.
Yeah.
And even the incorporation with the edge as well, it becomes more like a three-dimensional object rather than just looking at it purely as surface. So you can kind of move around, and it changes depending on the room's lighting at the time, whether it's artificial lighting. I work a lot under artificial lights, really poor lighting conditions.
Oh.
Intentionally. Because it kind of messes optically with your perception of the colour. After a while, everything starts looking like grey.
Yeah.
Or washed out tones. So you kind of overcompensate, hence the saturation or the high contrast.
Yeah, I really like the story that you tell via your colour. Like, mm-hmm. regardless of what you see when you look at the surface of the canvas, there's a base which is bright, say for the ones you've brought in today,
yep.
a very bright, strong orange, almost fluorescent orange base, but you wouldn't necessarily even know that existed but for the slight kind of echoes of it coming through, which mm-hmm. is what makes me think of a fish skin in a way
right.
when it's reflected under the water.
Yeah.
Who would you say is your biggest influence with painting?
Biggest. What, locally or internationally?
Internationally, locally, whatever. And it doesn't have to be a permanent. Just to
internationally. Philip Guston has always been a bit of a hero for me.
Yeah.
Mostly because he's been dead for so long, he's still challenging. I mean, works keep resurfacing and you think, where on earth have these come from?
Yeah.
You know, it makes you wonder whether he's actually dead or not. And just what he says. Locally, it's a few people. Alistair Nisbet Smith.
Yeah, I like
I had him as a tutor.
Whereabouts was that at?
That was at Westlake.
Oh, yep.
Yeah. But it was more afterwards because I sort of maintained a friendship with him, and we kind of critique each other's work on occasion.
Do you still catch up with Nisbet Smith?
Yeah, I saw him about last week, actually.
He gave me a painting glove about 20 years ago.
Oh, really?
To paint.
Yeah.
It's my little story when I used to paint.
And the possum, the mummified... Oh, no, it was a cat, I think.
Did he hit a mummified cat?
Yeah.
I haven't been
getting... Yeah, that was a big one for art class.
Yeah, that would have been traumatising for me. All right, so you've got your opening tonight, which mm-hmm. is exciting, at Lot 23 at 6 o'clock.
Yep.
So, and everything is available to buy.
Yes. Yeah, that was all finalised last night.
Oh, great. And how long is it running for?
About 4 weeks, I think.
Oh, that's quite a long
time. Yeah,
That's good. And is this your first time with Lot 23?
It is, yeah. I mean, the hang was really quick, surprisingly quick.
Yeah.
I guess they've done so many, so they're...
Oh, Natalie Tozer knows what she's doing when it comes to hanging out.
Yep, definitely.
Well, that sounds like it's going to be a great night. So thank you for coming in and telling us about your work today.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini, brought to you by Tiger Beer and WWF. That was Who Arted with Amy Ralphini, brought to you by Tiger Beer and WWF.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.